In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Al Messiah, come. Christos Anesti. The first three Sundays of the Paschal season focused our attention on the resurrection. And these last three Sundays of the Paschal season have focused us on baptism, new life in Christ. There was the paralytic man two Sundays ago. Then there was the Samaritan woman last Sunday. And today we have the account of the man born blind. In every account, we see the element of water. Water is central to these three gospel passages. Water, of course, is pointing us to baptism. Baptism, the mystery that gives new life. Let us remember that in the world, in our world, there are only two groups of people, the baptized and the unbaptized, those who are members of God's kingdom and those who are not members of God's kingdom, those who are among the walking dead, those who are alive in Christ. Yes, if you're not baptized, you are dead. And Christians need to begin to preach this more and proclaim this to people. You are not baptized. You are not a part of Christ. You are dead. The healing of the paralytic man, it occurred on a Sabbath day. In the first part of this account of that healing, the Lord asked the man a question. He asked the paralytic a question. Do you desire to be healed? Then after the miraculous healing, the paralytic was confronted by the Jews. And a short discussion, maybe an argument arose. And the passage ends particularly with no real recognition of who Jesus of Nazareth is. The paralytic simply comes, the Lord reappears to this paralytic man, and the paralytic man never really makes a declaration of who this Jesus of Nazareth is. However, this Lord that healed him, told him, instructed him, go. Go and sin no more. Baptism. When we're living in the Lord Jesus, we are told, go and sin no more, lest something worse befall you. Last Sunday, the woman at the well, Fotini, she too asked the question. And know how the Lord respects her freedom. Do you want the living waters that satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart? And Fotini responded, yes. Yes. And she found for the first time her deepest thirst quenched. She came to know the one who is love. She came to recognize the Messiah. Yes, the waters of baptism, they satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart. And today, another miracle occurs, and it happens on a Sabbath day. This time, however, a man is told, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And after his bathing, he was able to see. And the crowd of people, these friends of his, and these neighbors who've known him, they did not recognize him. He looked different because he was different. Baptism makes somebody look different and act differently. Baptism makes a person new. And then, like with the paralytic man, with this healing on the Sabbath day, an intense dialogue occurs between the Jewish hierarchy and the man who had been born blind. And similar to the Samaritan woman who went back to the villagers and told them, "Come and see a man who knew everything about me. Is he the Messiah?" Now the blind man too tells the Jewish hierarchy, "Do you want to see him? Do you want to believe too? Do you want to meet him?" He invites them. And the villagers of Sychar, they came to believe because they came to see. However, out of ignorance and stubbornness, the Jewish hierarchy refused to go. And so they remained ignorant. They remained blind. Note how the Jewish hierarchy, the doctors, the theologians, the learned men are blind. The blind man, who probably was never taught how to read and write, was a better theologian at that moment than all this Jewish hierarchy. And being confronted by the Jewish hierarchy, this man who had been born blind stands there resolute in his faith, as he's basically on trial. He will not waver in what he experienced, in what he knows to be true in his heart. And after his persecution before this Jewish hierarchy, and he's thrown out of the synagogue, the Lord, note again, reappears. And he asks the man, "What is the most important question?" What's the most important question that we can ever answer? Do you believe in the Son of God? The Lord had encountered this man. The Lord touched this man. He put his own spittle, his own DNA on this man. The man, in turn, obeyed the Lord's instruction to wash in this pool of Siloam. And then after demonstrating his conviction, his resolute faith before a Jewish hierarchy that was hostile, cast out, this man then makes the act of faith. He makes the act of faith. "I believe, Lord." And he falls down and worships. Have you made the act of faith? Do you worship falling down before the one true God revealed to us in the person Jesus of Nazareth? That's the question that you and I are confronted with as we come to the close of the Paschal season. This Wednesday will be the leave-taking of Pascha. Do you believe in the Son of God? because everything else doesn't matter. Because how you answer that question will determine your eternal life. You have now heard the eyewitness testimonies of those who saw and believed: Thomas, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, the myrrh-bearing women, Mary Magdalene, Our Lady Theotokos, the 12 apostles, or 11 apostles. You've heard their testimonies. You then heard and saw what happens to those who encounter the Lord and are baptized. He made the paralytic to walk. He satisfied the thirsty woman. He gave a blind man sight. Bottom line, after baptism, a person is made new. You were made new on the day that you were baptized. And you were supposed to begin living a different life. The baptized person is made alive. And we begin to live by a different standard. God's standard. Not the world standard, not society standard. The society that we live in will pass to dust, and the world standards will pass into dust. Watch, look, read human history. It's always changing, it's always in flux. What doesn't change? God's standard, it's eternal. Will you fall down and worship him? Or will you act like the Jewish hierarchy who preferred their blindness? They clung to their securities. They clung to their comforts. They clung to their ideas. They clung to their self-love. So they chose to ignore Jesus of Nazareth because it was easier to keep the status quo. Ah, but once the Lord enters your life, he gets into your boat like Peter's, and there is no status quo. You're in for a ride. In every liturgy here, stands the Lord. And he's saying, come to me, all you who are thirsty, and I will give you to drink living waters. And we will always find, quote unquote, reasons why we can't attend the liturgies, Vespers or Orthos and Divine Liturgy on Sundays. Well, there are always reasons why we can't come. The one with faith always finds the reason to come. Because you're thirsty. And he's the only one that satisfies it. The person who can see, always prefers liturgy before anything and everything else. Family, friends, work, recreation, whatever it might be. You've put it in your calendar. Friday night, Vespers, I thirst for the Lord. Sunday morning, Orthros, Divine Liturgy, I'm there with the Lord because I thirst for you. I believe, Lord, and I come to do what the blind man came to see. I come to fall down and worship you because why do I exist? Why did God create the human being? To glorify, to worship, and to adore God, the source of everything. You're a nothing. I'm a nothing. But by the very love of God, you and I exist and breathe and move. And yet, how many times we find reasons not to come to liturgy. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen.